Yes.
Yes.
Got it, yeah. Okay, hello all who are here and all those who are going to watch this video later on. My name is Tuula and me and Agnes will introduce you the course Resilience of Our Society to Natural and Man-Made Migration. I will start and I will talk about the content and goals and practical arrangements related to the course material. And then after that, Agnes is going to tell you the practical issue related to the traveling and housing and costs and so on. Yes.
Yes. And please feel free to use the chat if you have any questions. Yes. In the meanwhile, I try to follow the chat and then I can ask Tuula the questions or answer if I can.
And if you have any questions, you can also send an email to me. I am working more or less during this course. Okay, I am a professor of environmental technology. And my background is environmental hygiene, and this question of refugees and migration has been always very close to my heart, because I went to work as a Red Cross sanitation water and sanitation delegate in Sudan 1985. Yes. In the refugee camp in Sudan. I left the camp, but the camp never left me. And since that, I have spent quite a lot of time to study the problems related to the refugee camps, water, sanitation, health, and so on. And I've been teaching and I've been very active in the Finnish Red Cross and also International Red Cross. And that's why I wanted to participate this Fortrem Migration Lab in order to be able to share my experience almost for 40 years. This content of this course is I would like you to discuss and meet other people and as students, researchers and teachers and have this kind of dialogue related to all what is going on all over the world, not only in Ukraine, but please remember that there are almost like 100 million refugees or displaced person in the world, also lately we have received 25,000 migrants, asylum seekers from Ukraine, and 2015 we got something like the same amount of asylum seekers from Syria, and they are still here in Finland. Quite compared to other countries, we have very few ones, but still. And how this issue might affect our society here in Finland, and what does this mean in those countries which has much more refugees, and also how to react in the different phase of the migration. So there's this initial situation, and then. That there are problems in order to, for example, to create a refugee camp or shelter, and then this flux is going on. But we hope that this flux is over one day, and we can go to the recovery phase. And there are plenty of possible existing problems all over the world, and there are also something like emerging problems which might occur during the 10, 20 years, for example, because of this climate change, or for example, because of this situation in Ukraine, that there might be a shortage of food all over the world next winter, and that the pressure for this kind of people leaving their houses, homes, in order to get food might be a problem also. My own background is this kind of like civil engineering, public health, but we have a lot of other people in this course, and after this course, the learning outcome I would say is that I hope that you have been able to handle and discuss and meet a lot of people from different backgrounds, from different disciplines, and share the information and learn the sources of the most important information regarding the humanitarian rights, and my own background relates to the shares standards of the water, food, shelter, and so on. And the method of working is that in the morning sessions, there we have a different visiting scholars from different disciplines, and then after that, there will be the most important method of the learning and interaction is this kind of group works. So all of you are supposed to pick up a group, and the group is selecting some scenario, and then you are working with the scenario of creating some kind of solution according to the instructions what you have received from the teachers or found from the home pages, and also you can follow the media and also social network, what is going on, the discussion going on around different scenarios. Next, please. Yeah, and homework assignment. Okay, this means that before you come to the course, you should be doing some thinking of your own, that and you should do some reading and preparation. I just learned that the participation is almost compulsory. You should be attend 80% of the lectures, but we have tried to make it a little bit easier by providing a possibility to follow the lecture part of the course from the Moodle platform. We have a group of teachers from our university. I have tried to collect experts from different disciplines, like this Professor Lena Lindström. She's the head of the department, and her background is ecology, and she's going to introduce this term resilience, which is coming from the ecological sciences, and now we have started to use it also in our society generally, not only in ecology. And then teachers from the Department of the Political Sciences, language experts, educational experts, and then besides of our own teachers, we have visiting professors from Kenya who are very familiar with this kind of working in the less developed conditions, like the big refugee camps in Kenya for the Somalian refugees, and also we have been working in the slums of Nairobi, which means that this kind of migration workers from the countryside have reached the Nairobi area and they are living there in the slums. And then we also have partners from Finnish Red Cross, for example, Päivi Uusihonko, and they will tell you about how we in Finland we have reacted to the how we have welcomed these migrants from Ukraine at the moment, and how it was 5 years, 6 years ago when we got a flux of asylum seekers from Syria. But also, besides of the Red Cross working here in Finland, we also want to introduce the Red Cross activities all over the world. This Federation of International Red Cross Societies, which has this special rules and practices. And we would like to get some visitors who are able to tell their experiences from the field. Next, please. So this is the very preliminary schedule. Oh, it just indicates that we have different kind of modules every day, and we will start from the general stuff, starting from the definition of resilience, introduction to the course, definitions, legal definitions, and then pressures and drivers, which has been causing different kind of flux of people here in Europe and also the other cases, for example in Syria and Greece and Lampedusa and so on. And then on the afternoon, I want to start to learn each other's, and then you can choose your group based on your home university or based on your discipline. I know that some of you study law and some are teachers and so on. I don't know what is the criteria of the selection of the group, but anyway, you can choose, and you can prepare yourself. You can bring material and so on. And then we go through this. Your task is to create a perfect refugee camp or shelter within this week, and you are working throughout the afternoons, and then in the very end on Friday, we would like to go through all these scenarios, all those marvelous, very well equipped refugee camps and shelters, and have this kind of presentation of each scenario, and then you can have a discussion and criticize and give feedback whether it's working. And I have been organizing this kind of assignments for 20 years, but usually we have concentrated on just this kind of housing and water supply, sanitation, wastewater collection. But now I hope that we can also include the schools, churches, whatever it's necessary for the well-being and safety of the refugees or displaced persons. And okay, you can see here that we try to cover all these aspects, political, legal, and I myself, I will take care of this infrastructure required. And then we will have a visiting tomb lecture from Philippines, and also try to discuss about this social aspect, the soft aspects besides of engineering, the well-being and educational training and perhaps health and particularly to take care of the vulnerable group of refugees, like children, women, older people, perhaps how we should take care of them. Next, please. And already now you can do some brainstorming, because for example you can choose and start to collect material, read Wikipedia, scientific articles. I will provide later on homepage from different kind of situations, let's say like Philippines, there was a typhoon that hit the different communities. Then there was this information of the former crisis in Ukraine. But of course, now it has escalated since that situation. There are information of the situation in Europe because of the Syrian crisis, and then Somalia, and there are so many, unfortunately, so many cases, so many material, and you can pick your favorite case based on your own interest. Next, please. And by using this background information, your task is to try to handle this 10,000 or 20,000 persons, refugees, and make them safe and according to the minimums humanitarian standards. And what you can do already, you can sign in and read this nice documents which covers and give instructions how to take care of the water and sanitation, waste management, food supply, shelter, and health requirements of the refugees. And then playing different kind of scenarios also, we would like to organize this kind of simulation, how it is if you are a refugee and you end up to for example, to Finland or any other country. There will be this interview in the very beginning, whether you are a refugee or asylum seeker, or are you classified as a social or economical migrant. And then within 2 weeks, you should be checked by local health authorities, for example, here in Finland. And there are web page where you can find an interview questionnaire, and then we can simulate, and you can be interviewed, and you can do the interview, and you can have a look how difficult it is to try to find information from the people who are coming, and we are going to make it more difficult by mixing languages and so on, different cultures and so on. We will provide you like a blind and so on. And of course, we don't ask you to give your real information, but you can take some kind of role or identity of whatever you want. We really don't want to get your health data, but anyway, this gives you an idea how it is in practice when you are coming from a different country. Next, please. Last week, I was able to participate one Fortrem short course. I was in Palermo, Italy, Migrants' Rights in European Space. The you can see there the very, very fancy seminar room of the School of Law, and then another place, School of Architecture. And this is exactly how probably it's going to look like in the beginning of August when you arrive to Finland, except that we are going to work in the small groups and seminar rooms and just few lectures in the mornings. And next, please. Yes. And all the material, what is going to be available, you can find it from the Moodle platform. And Agnes is going to tell more about these practical issues, how to sign in. But it's very, very, very useful and nice work. And how to prepare to the course? I think it's you bring yourself to the Jyväskylä, and I'm sure that after that, young people usually they will entertain themselves and please try to learn to know as many people as possible from different countries, from different disciplines. And what is required, please think about the possibility that when you come to Finland, you leave your home country, and let's simulate that you don't know what is going to face you, and what would you take with you if you are not sure if there will be accommodation or food or anything like that. How you will pack your what would you take with you if you have to prepare for this kind of very quick evacuation, and you should be able to supply food and everything for 3 days. That doesn't mean that you have to actually to do that, but you can make some kind of lists of items or a PowerPoint presentation of the items. What do you think you need in order to survive 3 first days without any knowledge of accommodation or food or any other services? So that's the only compulsory assignment for you before you come. And I would be happy if you study a little bit like this guidelines, and also be be prepared to pick up your favorite part of the world and favorite catastrophe or situation. Okay, I will stop here and Agnes will continue. Do you have any questions for me now? Or are there any questions in the chat?
There are no more questions in the chat. So maybe I could just continue, and then if you guys have any questions in the meanwhile, you can still write it in the chat and we'll get
Yeah.
back to it.
Okay. Please. Now, Agnes, please
Yes.
take the practical issues.
Thank you. So let's move on to the more practical side. And one of the most important things is that you will need to get a gValue user account for this course. And in order to get the gValue user account, you will need to get through an identification process. And this process, if everything goes right, will take only a couple of minutes. So I really, really encourage you that when you can get started, when we have provided you with the things that you need for it, then please do it as soon as possible, because it just takes 2 minutes. But if there are problems, we need time to figure it out. So you definitely shouldn't leave it for the last moment. And this identification takes place electronically via a system called Signicat, where you will need to show your ID card or a passport, and then the camera of your phone will also check your face and then compare the documents to your face. It will also check the information of your on your card or passport. So, for example, sometimes if you have provided your name differently than it's written on your document, maybe you left out a name, you used some extra hyphens, something that is not on your passport, or the vice versa, then the system will notice it, and there will be a problem. So we will need to correct your name, which will take time. So you have to check this out in time. You will get a personal link for this Signica system, so you cannot share this link to your friend who may be like, say, hey, I didn't get this link. You cannot share this link, it's only for you. If someone hasn't received the link, then please contact us, but first check your spam box, because sometimes these automatic emails end up in your spam box of the email. And I really would like to emphasize, don't leave the identification to the last moment. July will be largely a holiday month in Finland, so there won't be many people working. There will be some people, but not many. But things will progress more slow than normally. So please give us time so that we can take care of your issues before you arrive to the course, because you really need this user account before you arrive, because otherwise you won't be able to access the Moodle platform. And you will receive more detailed information about this process later via email. So don't worry, we will explain the step-by-step instructions to you. But I just wanted to draw your attention that this is a very important step that you should not ignore. There will be a social program in the summer school that the Fordham short-term mobility is part of. you will be very welcome to participate in this program. It's going to be organized, it's usually organized 4 times a week, but the program is not ready yet. You will be let known separately when the program is finalized and it's put online. In some programs, most of the programs are free of charge, but there are some programs that where there will be a small participation fee, because the event includes some food or drinks or something. So for that, you will need to sign up in advance, and then you will also need to pay in advance. But I've heard that these are not very expensive events, but you will receive more information about it later on when the program is done. You might be interested about the Fordham grants, the grants that you can get for participating in this course. Very briefly, all I have to say is that the right place to ask about the grants if you haven't yet received information about it is your home university. So it's always your home university who is advising you about these grants and who is going to pay you these grants for. I also wanted to mention that because Tuula mentioned the hybrid participation form. So I just wanted to emphasize that you can only receive the grant if you are participating physically here from UVascula. So if you would consider participating from your home country or from somewhere else, if you're not here, unfortunately, you're not eligible for the grant. A couple of words about COVID-19. It is quite difficult to talk about because we still have about 2 months to go until the course would start. So that's quite a long time. I think during a pandemic, a lot can change. So please, if one thing you remember from what I say about COVID is that please check the situation regularly and definitely check the situation before you are coming here because it can change. But right now, this is actually, I have to stop here because these are not the right slides. So I will just start another one. But at the moment, the situation is not very serious, the cases are not on the rise. And at the moment, the situation is quite in control and there are not that many restrictions in place in Finland. I have to share my screen again. Okay, back at it. I had two versions of this. No. Tuula, I got the version you sent me had all the information from me. Okay, I have to. I have to find another one. Okay, so now I'm sharing some other slide that I prepared for another course that has the correct information on my part. So please ignore that here the course name is Food Lab. This is, we are still talking about the course that you signed up for. So don't mind that. But back to the COVID. So things can change. What I really would like to ask you to do is to follow the two links that we have provided you here on this slide. So the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare and their page specifically on travel and coronavirus. And then the other page is the Finnish Border Guards Guidelines on Border Traffic. These are the two sites that you need to check regularly and definitely before coming and see what are the instructions for crossing the border at the time when you are coming. And it will be your responsibility and obligation to familiarize yourself with the up-to-date information and the requirements of Finland and also your flight company. We strongly recommend that you have a full series of COVID-19 vaccinations at least 2 weeks before you come to the course, and that if you have the vaccinations, you take a certificate with you, and the certificate should be in English. And as I said, currently the restrictions are lifted quite a lot, but general caution is still required. So good hand hygiene and the use of masks in certain situations. For example, if you travel in a train when you arrive, we recommend you to use a mask. It's not compulsory at the moment, but it's still really recommended. And we also recommend to do home tests before arrival and after arrival, just to make sure that everything is okay. And of course, in 2 months, a lot can happen. So we still have to say that the university reserves the right to cancel the mobility if the national COVID situation so requires. So for this reason, I really would recommend that you take a refundable ticket to Finland. At the moment, traveling is quite smooth within the EU and Schengen countries. If you are arriving for some reason from outside of the EU or Schengen countries, I urge you to read extra carefully the requirements and restrictions, because they are usually a bit more strict than for people arriving from EU and Schengen countries. This information was taken from the Finnish Health and Welfare website yesterday. So this is the up-to-date information. So they might, when you arrive, they might ask for vaccination certificates or recovery certificates. Mostly they don't do it at the moment. So I think it's either on some kind of random basis, or for example, if they have a reason to ask. So maybe if you look very ill, they might approach you and ask you for those. And besides the entry requirements, there are also health security measures, and among these could be that they would require you to do testing, and they can also assign you to quarantine. So my advice to you that please have the vaccinations, and when you travel, have all your COVID-19 related certificates with you. So whether it's the vaccination certificate, or if you have had COVID and if you have a certificate about it, please have it with you in case it's needed. Just a couple of words about the war in Ukraine, because you might be concerned about it, or maybe your parents are concerned about it. So I just wanted to let you know that Finland currently is under no threat, and there's no immediate risk of the situation changing. The situation is monitored nationally, and if there's any change in the situation and there will be an increased risk, then the government will react to that. And we will also inform you and your home universities about that. If you wish to read more about the situation, I've listed there a couple of websites, all of them official governmental websites of Finland that has information about the situation in English. So you can keep following those if you would like to read up more about it. But the main message is that right now there's no risk, and it's safe to come to Finland, but as we have also learned with COVID-19, things can change. Take a refundable ticket. Then back to more practical issues, how to get to Jyväskylä and from Jyväskylä back home. because this is the other course's information that I had had an info session about in the morning. Please notice that the date there is wrong. So you should make plans to arrive latest on Sunday, the 7th of August, because 8th of August, Monday, this course is starting. So you need to arrive a day before the latest. And we recommend to fly to Helsinki Airport, as the public transport connections are best from there to Jyväskylä. There are also other airports, but maybe the public transport connections are not so good. So for example, if you arrive quite late to some other airport, there might not be connections to Jyväskylä on the same day. So you might need to stay a night in that city. And many of the small airports are closing for the night, so you can't even stay at the airport. You can also fly to Jyväskylä, but there are very few flights only. They are mainly between Helsinki. And you don't actually save time probably compared to coming by train from Helsinki with all the check-ins, and the Jyväskylä airport is also a bit out of the city, so it's almost an hour to get here, and there's no public transportation, so you would need to take a taxi, so it's also a bit pricey. So all in all, I would really recommend that you would take a train, which is also the most environmentally friendly option. It takes about 3.5 hours, so it's not that bad in the Finnish scale. There can be much bigger distances within Finland. And the other option is that taking a bus, there are also many buses. And sometimes if you arrive late at night, it might be that the trains are not running anymore, but there can be a bus connection, so you can check out that option. About the accommodation, again, please make sure that you arrive latest on the 7th of August. And the departure is earliest on the 12th of August. Make sure if you want to leave already on the 12th, make sure that you give yourself enough time to transfer from Jyväskylä to Helsinki or whatever is your departure airport. Keep in mind that in Finland, the distances are rather big. You can also add extra days to your stay. So you can leave also on Saturday or Sunday or whenever you wish. But please know that Fordham only finances 5 days, so the extra days won't be funded by Fordham. And I think most of you, or hopefully most of you, have already made your accommodation reservations. If you haven't and you still would like to, for example, go to Soi to stay, you can still contact them and see if they have availability. And they probably do, but please know that the deadline for getting the discounted price has already passed. So we have sent you information about it by email. You can still get the accommodation probably, but it won't be a discounted price. And you also are free to look for accommodation from other places. There's, for example, Time Hostel apartments, which are quite popular and they are under a good location. Or you can look for accommodation from anywhere else as well. About the meals, during weekdays, you can have lunch on campus. The student cafeterias have hot meals that include a hot meal, drink, salad, and bread. So it's quite comprehensive. And there are always three options. So there will be a vegetarian, fish, and meat. And dietary preferences are also taken into account. So, for example, if you follow vegan diet or gluten-free or something, most of them are can be catered for. And as a summer school student, you will be entitled to a small discount. So you won't get the kind of the traditional student discount. Unfortunately, you are not entitled to that, but you can get a small discount and the meals should cost with that discount about €5.20. You will need to show a certificate for that you will be able to get from the student register called SISU. But in order to get to SISU, you will need to have the JYU credentials. So one more reason that you should take care of that identification process so you can get this certificate. About the healthcare, what is really important that the University of Jyväskylä does not insure the summer school participants, so you need to take care of your own insurance and make sure that you are insuring the different things that usually belongs to a trip. So you should get a health insurance, accident, travel and luggage insurance. And JYU is not responsible for the effects of COVID-19 epidemic or the costs related to it. So let's say if you fall ill and you will need to add some extra days to your stay, you need to pay for more times in the accommodation, more days, then you are not insured by us. So those costs will be on you. And also this is a reason why we recommend a good insurance. So if something like this happens, then the insurance can cover your costs. And of course, I think most of you are familiar with the European Health Insurance Card. This card entitles you to the healthcare under the same conditions and the same cost as people insured in Finland. But please keep in mind that this card is not a substitute for insurance. So you still need to get an insurance even if you have this card, or we recommend you to get an insurance even if you have this card. And since in the past couple of years, maybe many of us haven't been traveling very, very much. So I would recommend you to check out this card. If you already have it, check it out and check the validity, because maybe it has expired during the pandemic and then you would need to request a new one from your country of residence. So check out that your card is also valid before coming to Finland. And the social program I mentioned already. So there's also the link where you can check out the program, but it's not there yet. So you can check back later during summer if it's already updated, but we will also send you information when the program is updated. Just a word about financial matters. the currency used in Finland is euro, so it's easy in that sense. Bank and credit cards are really widely accepted, and there is no minimum limit that you need to pay, or amount of money that you need to pay in order to be able to use your credit or bank card, like in some countries there is. We don't really use cash anymore. Of course, you can if you want to use cash, that's also possible, but basically every place accepts cards as well. Despite of that, I do recommend personally to have some cash at you just in case something happens to your card, so that you still have some money on you if in case something happens. And about the student discount, the public transportation in Finland, the trains and coaches don't accept foreign or international student cards, but you can get a discount by purchasing the tickets in advance, so it's kind of an early bird discount. And if you have an international student identity card, you can check out the discounts that offers, but it does not include public transportation. As I said, there can be some other, like restaurants, museums, cinema, things like that. And that was it, actually, on my behalf. Because I had to close the share screen, I closed the chat, but now I opened again and I see no questions in the chat either. So in that case, please contact us if you have any questions later. And some of you, or quite many of you, actually joined us a couple of minutes late, so you didn't hear that this session was recorded. So we will have this video uploaded and made available for you, so you can also check the beginning or check back later to some things if you were wondering. And I will also send you the material, so you can check it later. And you can contact Tuula if you have any questions related to the course content, and you can contact us in the Fordham office if you have any questions regarding the practicalities. And remember to contact your home university's Fordham office if you have any questions about the grant. But I thank you, Dan, for coming and participating. And I wish you a really nice summer. I will be on holiday for a couple of weeks, starting from the end of next week. But then I will be back, and I will be happy to answer and help you with your questions.